Forever.
So what time is Death joining us?
Death isn't coming on until 10:15 because he was sliding at Not Scary last night. So he's
Stop. Stop.
See what I got over there behind me? I'm doing a slide, Julie. I got all my gear.
I'm not even looking at you until Tom comes on.
Dudecreat,
so, should we start?
We can't start. We're not allowed to.
Well,
Brett's in charge. By the way, I don't know if you've ever felt less in control.
Are you rolling, Julie?
Yes.
Are you rolling, Brett?
Yep.
Yeah, well, watch this. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Double Thread. And boy, do we have an exciting episode for you this week.
He done it.
He did it. I was just told that the episode couldn't start until Brett said so. And I said, oh, yeah, me and my friend Julie Klausner, we don't get no truck from no one like that.
We don't get the hi-hat. Nobody gives us the hi-hat.
We go where we want and we do what we want. And
even though
we want to do an episode of the show that is dedicated
to whatever Brett is holding us hostage for, which is... Yeah. Which is the bigger picture.
Yeah. We go where we want. We do what we want. Except today's episode of Double Threat.
Which is Brett's, this is...
Webster's defines a slider as a skilled individual who uses knee, toe, and hand protection in order to slide across the ground and uses this skill in order to startle or enhance their scaring technique at a Halloween event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back up. I was going to talk about Brett for a second. I was going to say, this guy, Brett.
Yeah, what about him?
We're still getting to know him.
A little bit. Every time you think you know him, you realize you know him less than you thought.
And then the other thing about Brett is he's been harboring secrets from us for the last few weeks, where he'll surprise us with something.
Well, last week there were two Double Threat surprises. One was... guess who's coming on the show? Surprise number one. And surprise number two is guess who's not coming on the show? That was surprise number two. And it was like a fun little drive around a track because we went right back to where we started. But it was as funny as it gets to me.
Right.
Last week was a complete triumph. And because John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper, left us high and dry. Did not show. Classic no show.
And I just want to point out to listeners that if you want to get a sense of, I don't know, the kind of families that the three of us grew up in, listen to the last half hour of last week's episode. And you will hear from me, the people pleaser, singing the entirety of Chubby Checker's Twist.
Yes, trying to just make us focus on anything but...
trying to keep the men from getting too angry. Tom heightening his anger towards the no-show, and then Brett beating himself up.
Yeah. Tom finding a villain and brutalizing them in any way possible, a la
Brett,
Bugs Bunny, where
Brett looking inward... plunging the depths.
Yeah.
Wandering the wastelands, just overwhelmed with shame.
Yeah. And me tap dancing like a clown.
Yeah.
To keep everybody happy.
No, Savion Glover has not tap danced the way you tap danced last week.
At one point I was like, let's name our favorite members of Succession.
Yeah. And then I'm just like, yes, this guy's drilling holes in the thing he's doing. I'm just... off to the races with how can I let me pull my Bugs Bunny routine and destroy him from every angle possible.
And then Brett's like, we're at minute 19 of the ghosted clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun when like Brett gets like, I mean, it's not fun, but it's interesting when Brett gets really angry.
Yeah. So now Brett, in an attempt, I think in a slight attempt to save face.
Redemption story.
Not unlike The Natural.
Yeah.
Or Rocky.
Yeah.
Brett looked himself in the mirror and he said, what can I do to look like the hero that Julie and Tom need?
Yeah.
And he said,
oh, it's how about this episode I've been planning for 7 months?
Yes. He said, his answer was
in secret. Himself,
in secret, in the mirror, in secret, he said, what I'm going to do is book 14 people who
are interested in something that Tom and Julie have at best been polite about.
I find it intriguing. I like any subset.
I think I like subsets. I like countercultures, but mostly I like Brett's out of control obsession.
Oh, that's what makes it worthwhile. Julie, you know what Brett's dream would be is if Colin Firth would put these things on his knees that would make sparks fly every time he slid and did that in while eating a bowl of chili.
And went back and forth in a parking lot, and one side of the parking lot had rubs and the other side had glazes.
One side of it would be in terra lingua.
He'd have a fish in his mouth like a seal.
Mm-hmm. So we're just getting to figure out what makes this guy tick.
And meanwhile, we're on a clock because Brett, first of all, I can't look Brett in the eye because before you signed on, Tom, you know what he said to me?
What?
He said, do you see what's behind me?
Do I see what's behind him? Oh, I see it. Yeah, I'm terrified of what's in those.
My slider gear.
So I haven't been able to look at him since.
So he's got slides.
He's got sliding gear behind him. And then we're on a different schedule. Because here's the thing. Last week, we were actually, I think the schedule worked out really well because you had to leave early. We had to rearrange things so that John Kassir would be like the last guest.
Oh, no. The schedule was perfectly timed.
You had a hard out.
Last week.
So it was all just build up. It was all, because usually we don't have the guests come on in the last half hour.
Yeah. So there was an inordinate amount of build up
for stalling, preparation, anxiety. Yeah. Only for the letdown to be, you know, more devastating.
And now how is this week different, Julie?
Well, it's top loaded to my understanding. All I know is I got the most insane, both of us got this insane email from Brett.
Yeah.
That was like a PowerPoint, embedded links.
Yeah.
Look, I had a rough one last week. It turned out great. I mean, you guys can make gold out of anything. And so, you know, the episode is a classic. Everybody should listen to it. But personally, you know, that I took it as a loss. I took it as a defeat. And so this week, I looked inside myself and I said, what can I do to make up for this? And I said, it's time for the long-awaited Sliders episode. The Sliders are not.
Now, when we say Sliders, we're not talking about the hamburgers.
Those little hamburgies.
We're talking about a skilled individual who uses knee, toe, and hand protection in order to slide across the ground and uses this skill in order to startle or enhance their scaring technique at a Halloween event.
Well, that was natural.
Talk about the natural.
Yeah. So Brett got this obsession with these guys who work at haunted houses and theme parks Not Scary Farm.
Is this guy, by the way, is this guy in the waiting room?
He's in the waiting room. Yeah, we've got Brayden Freeland.
Fine. Okay, hold on. Let's just set. Sure. Brayden can wait another 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to, you know.
We're setting sorry the
to
table.
Sorry to try to steal the show back from you, Brett.
Yeah. So Brett is obsessed with these guys who work at amusement parks and theme parks called Sliders.
Mm-hmm.
And they spook you and scare you, but they do it in a special way because they have this protective gear that makes it so they can slide really hard on the ground and it sparks fly and it's loud for a second. So you're startled from in a completely different way.
Yeah. It's an art form that's developed over the last 30 years. It originated 50 years, really. Okay. It originated. Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Sure, no,
we're going to learn all about sliding in a second, but I just wanted to finish a little bit of like housekeeping.
Sure, sure, sure.
Double threat wise.
Yeah.
Because Brett is at the wheel for this one, we're going to start with this interview with the director of a documentary that both of us have been forced by gunpoint to watch.
Yeah, literally
called
Sliders of
Ghost Town. We're going to interview this guy, and then we're going to interview a slider named Death a little bit later.
Yes.
But I also want to point out that we are starting at an unholy earlier time.
Yes.
That it is like...
We're on slider time.
Tom, have you even had your coffee yet?
I'm having it right now.
It's very early.
Yeah. Trust me, if this thing goes wrong, there's going to be some other sliding done on it. I'm going to slide. I'm going to slide off of this Zoom.
So we are starting early. We have completely restructured the rhythm of the show to accommodate these guests that Brett has spent a lot of time and effort
and it's getting, exciting.
And we're excited. We're so excited. Listen,
we're going to the inner sanctum. We're going to the inner sanctum today. This took a long time for me to make
Brett,
my way into the ranks.
It's great
of this.
To see you be enthusiastic about something. I'm looking at this schedule. It says 9 a.m., 9:15, 9:45, 10:30, 11, 11:15. Questions for Braden, questions for Death.
Yeah. Suddenly I'm like, wait, am I, it's like, I feel like I'm in the, like Major Payne is yelling at me, telling me to get my act together here. Like hut one, hut two, you know.
So we're not going to waste any more of these sliders' time.
So we have a slider, the director of the movie.
Yes.
Sliders, a love story. What is it called?
Sliders of Ghost Town, which is a really detailed kind of oral history of sliding, which started at Not Scary Farm in the 70s here in California in Orange County. And Braden really, he got to know all the sliders. He interviews them. It's a great documentary. I'll include a link in the show notes where you can watch it on YouTube. Without any further ado, let's bring on Braden Freeland.
I didn't believe it. You know, Ghost Town's this and Ghost Town's that.
There was one spot where street characters were at, and it was Ghost Town.
It's not a 9-to-5 job, it's a non-stop job, because we're doing this year-round.
You know, the better and better we got at sliding, you know, it wasn't just sliding 2 feet, it was like sliding 20 to 30 feet.
I can see someone avoid me from miles away, and I'm gonna follow you.
What is so scary about a person sliding in front of you?
When it first happens, you don't really understand what just happened because someone's just in your face. You heard a sound and now there's some monster in your face. He snarls and he's gone. And you kind of talk amongst your group of like, where did that guy come from? I don't know. You don't really know because they run from the shadows, slide across the ground, and then they could pop up in your face and you don't know where they came from. It's a quick, startling scare. And I think the sound of the metal toe caps dragging across the ground, the knee pads across the ground, and most importantly, the metal on their gloves. And those gloves actually will be worn by non-slider monsters. And you'll see people all over the world wear those gloves and they call them clicky gloves because you can click them together behind someone's head and it gives you a startling, uneasy sound.
I went to Not Scary Farm a couple of years ago, 2019 pre-pandemic. And the part that was scary for me with these sliders was it's the angle. And it's like, it was like revolutionary in a way because there's a velocity to it. And the angle is so unexpected. It's truly freaky.
Now, Braden, the doc you made has like a very kind of serious tone, like the music and the interviews, like the talking heads are all against a black background to the extent where I was worried that like at the end it was going to be revealed that everybody had died in some sort of sliding accident. How did you decide what tone you were going for when you were editing this together?
I believe that the tone was based on the seriousness of, think of a lot of stuff going on. Like there was drama between, so at Not Scary Farm, there's multiple different scare zones, and Ghost Town is the spot. That's where you want to be. That is the MBA of the Knott's Berry Farm scare monsters there. So there were other places that felt like they were as good as Ghost Town, but they weren't getting the respect they deserved, which was Camp Spooky, or Camp Snoopy rather. And Camp Snoopy guys, they didn't really get taken seriously, but that's where sliding actually began. And we pay respect to that in the doc, that Todd over, well, what we see of sliding today is what they were trying hard because they wanted to get recognized.
This is Todd Stubbler.
Todd Stubbler. Yep. That would be the man.
Sliding began at Knott's Berry Farm with myself and a couple other guys that were basically trying to find something else that was a better scare tactic, because I was 5 foot nothing, I weighed 100 nothing, and everybody around me were gigantic guys.
So Todd was over there with his recaps and his metal on his gloves, and he was trying to show off and try to impress, just trying to make Camp Snoopy get some type of respect. But as you can see in the doc, there was a lot of like weird control happening from beyond the shadows.
There was a rivalry going on between like Camp Snoopy and Ghost Town. Like we try to show them up and try to be, you know, the best area in the park. We're better than you. No, we're better than you. No, we're better than you.
There was a lot of drama that was brought on by people that were not monsters. I don't know why. I've heard different stories. You know, it was good to have the competition between the two. There were factions of the corporate suits that wanted to pit us together. There was different styles because of that, because there's no internet, there's no communication, no one talked backstage. I used to wear cowboy boots. I used to take cowboy boots and some plastic and gloom around the outside of my cowboy boots, and they'd always fall off and I'd glue them back on.
I have 11 hours of interviews, and for me it just was a lot of drama and darkness, but we ended it in light. And that last bit of hearing all of their stories and how important Knott's was to them, and you got to rinse the palate after being in darkness for so long.
As it is, I didn't have my life, and that's all I've known, you know, since I've been an adult, you know, is Knott's Scary Farm, you know. And anywhere I go, I'm wanting to scare people, and it sucks because I'll do it sometimes, and then, you know, the people I'm with are like, dude, you're not there anymore, come on.
There's no rehab center that could ever get that feeling out. I wouldn't go if they said, you have a scaring problem. I would never go to that rehab.
Now, who would you say is the Michael Jordan of sliding? Is there someone who just like is a game-changing slider?
A slide is supposed to add to your monster's character. So You can't make your character all about sliding. Sliding can add to your character. But some guys who do the stunt stuff, they are just incredible at sliding. Some people that come to mind are like Trey Asgar. He jumped, I think, 13 people. So imagine laying people hip to hip on the ground and someone runs full speed with slider gear on, hits the ground for about a second, jumps from your knees, right? You got no calf muscles, you got nothing. All you got is your hip muscles and maybe your hamstrings and quads are helping a little bit. And then you got to jump and leap 13 people and land it. And Trey had done
But you're
that.
Talking about jumping over them like Evel Knievel?
Yeah, on flat ground, no ramps, flat ground. Run, slide, jump, and they're jumping, people laying hip to hip across the ground, 13 people, I believe, is the current record. I think.
Oh, hey, How's that Merrick guy?
You know, I was making Merrick notes before the podcast, and I wrote down Merrick because I was hoping it would come up.
Yes. Yeah, Merrick. What's up with Merrick these days? How's he doing?
Merrick, oh boy. That, you know what's funny is making this documentary, I met a lot of monsters, and some of those monsters became friends. And Merrick, Adam, is a great friend of mine now, and he is such a sweet, nice guy,
yeah.
But when he is Merrick, he is completely transformed into this psychopath that is unexplainable.
And his monologues are very poetic. I mean, he really, like, I mean, it's like the Joker or something.
Do not tempt me. 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 Do not tempt me ever again!
He talks to anything that is inanimate or anything in general and seems to have a whole world in his brain that we are not privy to.
Those people really don't understand. They don't understand at all. Yeah, you do. Oh, you do. Oh, but you do. Oh, we just think it's so good.
Fun story. I showed him footage. I followed him around with and that's in the documentary of him walking around talking to his thunder jug and saying all that nonsense.
What's a thunder jug?
A thunder jug. A thunder jug is a jug, gasoline can, a water container that you put nuts and bolts inside of. And then when you come up behind a guest, you shake that jug and it sounds like thunder and scares the hell out of people. So he carries around his own little thunder jug and he talks to his thunder jug as though it's a person. Oh, yes. So I showed him the footage of him walking around in Ghost Town, the footage that's in the doc. And I have, it's like an 11-minute walk with him with a wireless mic on, and showed him all that. And he was shocked. He's like, I don't remember saying any of that.
Yeah.
He's very method and strange, but like I said, he is such a nice, sweet, kind guy.
You sound like the person talking to the news after they start pulling bodies out of a house. Oh, he was such a nice, sweet guy. He was so kind. I don't know who showed him footage
of himself and he couldn't recognize himself.
Yeah.
And your movie is available where? Where can people see it?
It is available for free on YouTube. About 2 years ago, I went back through and recolored and edited and upscaled it to 4K. And it is absolutely free on YouTube. No ads, no monetization, just there for people to watch.
So people can search Sliders of Ghost Town.
And I'll put a link in the show notes as well. Truly a great documentary. I've seen it a couple of times. I really like it. People should check it out.
Yeah, they can check out Sliders of Ghost Town. It's a really cool look into a very unique profession.
Well, thanks, you guys. It's been a pleasure here talking with you.
Thanks, Braden. Sorry, guys. Death is texting me. Just one second. Okay.
Now this is
happening. Our show. Tom, remember when we came up with the idea for this show like 2 years ago? We were just like, it'll be called Double Thread. It'll be just the two of us.
Yeah.
It'd be so cool to do like.
Yeah. Now we're
just
like
bits with each other. Like, because we've always been such a, we've always had such a good time as a duo, whether it's like doing bits on the best show. And, you know, we've always been like.
Now we're on this ride. We're on this weird, speaking of theme parks, we're on a ride right now.
Right. And the guy running the roller coaster has gone out to, like, you know, put some braised bass in his tandoori oven. And we're going on our like fifth run, and it just keeps getting faster and faster.
Well, look, all I can say is the people of Bel Air are going to have a real thrill when they go out in the street and they watch Brett in their neighborhood
slip sliding away.
Yeah, Brett has maybe I'm not supposed to say this on the show. You can edit it out of it.
Yeah, sure.
Brett has a beautiful mansion in Bel Air that is
the Slide Prince of Bel Air.
The Slide Prince of Bel Air. Sliding up and down the street.
All I want to say, because I'm a happy hostage, I'm not complaining. I'm like, it's like
it's like
Dog Day Afternoon. You're like, he's letting us go to the bathroom, like John Cazale, I'm a little concerned about, but this guy's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to say that if you know Winchell, Mr. Steven Will Winchell, who made those Funko Pops of us,
oh my god,
if those were actual Funko Pops, I'm just worried that Brett would outsell one of us. That's all
Well,
he'd
outsell me. I know that right off the bat.
I don't know.
Just because
I don't know. And I'm a little worried.
All it would take would be, I could just say right off the bat, if the guests on this show bought them, right off the bat, you'd have a huge lead over me. Because they would be like, I'm not going to buy two producers Funko Pops. I'll buy one.
No, but if they were the fans, this is what I'm getting worried about.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Whatever, well, look, today's show is a chance for Brett to kind of
spread his wings.
It might be a little bit of a cry for help.
I swear, yeah, Brett, if you injure things. Yourself before you go to Terra Lingua, I will be so mad at you.
Yeah.
If you're going to, I'll if you devastated. Break both. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. We all, in fact, how about this? How about I pitch this? Death joins us. Mm-hmm. We chat with Death. How about you don't do a demonstration? How about you wait until you get back from Terra Lingua? I don't need you canceling your trip because you're in the full body cast.
I'm going to be fine. I got a helmet. I got knee pads. I got elbow pads.
The helmet isn't.
Just look, Julie, this guy's from Georgia. He's
what does
come,
that mean?
But it means this is what it means.
So you is know, Fred you, Schneider.
You know what the the most common last words for people in Georgia are? Watch this.
Bless her heart.
It's watch this. They go watch this and then they fall off a cliff or the truck blows up that they tried to jump barrels of gasoline. It's just so Brett is basically telling us, watch this.
I want him to be at his best in Terra Lingua because I don't want this to interfere with his chili cook-off. And by the way, how is it going with your prep? Are you experimenting with any chili recipes in the kitchen? Are you getting to where you need to be in terms of a Texas red?
Yeah, I'm starting to experiment with different ingredients. I'm bringing a lot of my glaze and rub knowledge to chili, which I think is going to kind of give me an edge, is going to set me apart. Because I have to imagine these guys get a little set in their ways. So I'm hoping to shake things up a little bit.
You know what's going to happen to this guy, Julie? This is what's going to happen. He's going to show up. He's going to be flying out with his glazes, his rubs. He's going to bring him on carry-on, and he's going to be the guy at security throwing out.
Bring more than 4 ounces of a glaze. Right?
He's going to be the guy begging the TSA, it's glazes, it's rubs. This is not
the
thing.
Rubs he can bring.
The 4 ounces.
You think it's good? They're going to think it's drugs?
Or just whatever. They're going to say, like, you can't bring that. Like, he'll just be the guy at
it
the...
It can't be more than 4 ounces of liquid. Yeah,
but that's the thing. He's going to be there with his glazes. And they're going to be like, sir, like, you know, when you're waiting and then the bag, like, you're... Like, when you watch the bag roll backwards onto the thing when they're going to, like, give it an extra look. That's going to be Brett. And he's going to
have one Tupperware for each of his things.
Yeah. Whose bag is this? Sir, can you come over here? They're glazes. Sir, you can't bring these glazes. You can't fly with these glazes. It's good. What am I supposed to do? Go all the way back through and mail them to Terra Lingua?
How are you going to use your glaze knowledge? Your rub knowledge, I can see. You're going to rub, you know, whatever poor dead animal.
Yeah.
With whatever is nice. I'm sure it'll be delicious in all seriousness. But you'll rub the meat with, you know, whatever rub you have. But how are you going to use the glaze to make chili? That to me, I can't.
Yeah,
put
I
my
mean,
head
not,
around.
It's not a one to one. You know, it's just but, you know, glazing is about just, you know, just combining ingredients. It's just about finding, you know, combining flavors, looking for that right balance. And so, you know, it's more about applying
just
the
cooking.
Knowledge.
It's just cook. You're just talking about cooking.
Yeah, cooking. But I mean, when you but there's a lot to you know, flavor science and the way you combine. You know, I mean, you know, everybody knows now. There's did you guys ever watch Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat? That documentary on Netflix.
I'll answer your question. No.
That was my nickname in high school, actually. That really was. People called me Salt, Acid, Fat, Heat.
It's a great documentary. I recommend the book, really. To get the book, I mean, that's a great place to start if you're thinking about
I should have called my book Salt, Acid, Fat, Heat.
I like reading a book and watching a documentary at the same time.
Yeah. The book's better than the... Actually, the book's better than the documentary, than the movie. The movie's kind of stupid, but the book, Salt, Acid, Fat, Heat. Yeah. I've never felt more heard than that phrase, than those four words put together. It's like, man, I get it.
Yeah, that was, I got my test results from my doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were four categories.
Yeah, of what I'm comprised
of. I rated very high in all four.
Yeah. This is what you're made of, Tom. Salt, acid, fat, and heat.
You're going to do great. You're going to do great.
Hey,
I wish I could taste whatever. I wish I could taste your cooking in general. I'm sure you're a great cook.
Julie, nothing would make me happier than to make you a great vegetarian meal. I actually have a hell of a, there's a really great vegetarian cookbook I just got that I'm waiting to dig into. So, ooh. I mean, when you're in it, next time you're in LA, you tell me, I will make you dinner.
What's the cookbook?
It's called starch
rubber.
Yeah, burning tire. It's called starch plastic. Cookies, burning tire, and plastic. It's a Fred Sanford cookbook. It's just junkyard cooking.
What's it called?
It's called Plenty. It's based on a restaurant, I think, in London. Yeah, it's a vegetarian restaurant in London, and it's like all their recipes, and it just, mm-hmm. I just like thumbing through it. It looks incredible, so I can't wait to dig into that.
You don't eat meat, right? What, so you don't like milk neither? What? No dairy, eh? No chicken,
this is the waiter.
Eh?
This is the waiter at Plenty?
Yeah. It's gonna. What if when we start doing live shows, if we just have Brett cooking the whole time in the corner?
Yeah, we'll get like a little show, like at the end of the Today night, Show. Yeah. Today Show, like test kitchen.
Yeah, and then Brett feeds a few people from the audience.
Oh, I was gonna say just us.
Or just every us, but we could, but it'll be us.
It's like, wow, we paid $40 to watch Tom and Julie eat like a 4-course breakfast.
Yeah, and we just eat the whole show.
Yeah, our mouths are full into the microphones.
Yeah.
So should we start brainstorming about our live shows? Because that'll happen probably next year.
We should.
All right. So
dunk tank. Can we have a dunk tank on stage?
Dude, Jerry?
Yeah, we should get Jerry from T-Public in a dunk tank. Right? Get Robin Columbo on stage.
Oh my God.
One person show. Robin, giant neon letters. That's when I go to Rio, Rio de Janeiro. Like she just has like a full
when my
musical.
Baby goes to Rio.
It's a full cabaret.
I can totally see that. I can totally see that happening.
Yeah.
How about what else? Should we have
Death.
I'd say like two sliders
on the show.
But I don't who?
Death.
Well, Death and his friend, he can bring
Death
his
and
friend.
Merrick. They could just sort of wander the crowd, you know, do
well,
crowd
I was
going
to say, I would prefer they stay on stage just in case people like who are coming to a Double Threat live show don't want to be scared. Mm-hmm. They just want to laugh.
Julie, the best part of that interview we did was when Brett said, you mean Brett Blumble? And then you, I thought your eyes were going to roll out of your head. The way you rolled your eyes when Brett was like, you mean Brett Blumble? Like, he's like, well, there was a guy named Brett who did the thing. Brett Blumble? Your eyes went, oh. I'm amazed your eyes don't hurt right now from like straining them. Like you're not wearing those like temporary glasses from the optometrist right now because your eyes were so strained.
I mean, Todd Stubler is like the defining,
Todd Stubler.
The defining figure in the history of, I mean, he's the Thomas Edison of sliding.
He mentions Todd and then Brett goes, Todd Stubler. And then Brandon goes, yeah, Todd Stubler. And then Julie went, whoa. It was perfect. I would humbly request, and not that this is for public consumption, Brett.
Yeah.
For myself, if you can pull the video of moment.
We'll do.
For our own analysis would be priceless. It was perfect.
I can't wait to go back and watch it now. Yeah. I mean, because in my head, I'm like, you know, in this, you know, Killing it.
Well, you're going to have plenty of time to watch these things, do editing and stuff when both your legs are broken from sliding. Just you're going to be, it's going to be like Rear Window.
I'm not as concerned about your legs. I'm concerned about your joints and your butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to break your butt.
I mean,
concerned about his knees.
That would take a hell of a tumble because I'm going to aim for like the all fours, you know, hands down.
I think this is such a bad idea. Brett, I'm really against it. I think you should do it when you get back from Terralingua. I'm dead serious. Yeah.
I'm going to contact the Bel Air PD to just tell them. If they see a slider in the neighborhood, stop them.
and be like a non-Todd Stubbler.
Yeah. But if I practice now and I get, you know, develop a technique, I can take this equipment to Terralingua and slide it Terralingua.
No yeah.
Then now I picture him at the TSA at security. There's
equipment.
Yeah. They're Sparky gloves.
No, they're called clicky gloves.
They're clicky gloves. These aren't weapons.
It's my thicker. My
here.
My
let me show
glo-
you.
I need
let
my
me show
clicky,
you.
My clicky gloves and my thunder jug.
Give me my thunder jug and my clicky glove. Look at this. What are you, Iron Man? All of a sudden.
Oh no, Brett! You made those?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually and I documented the process of making these. I'm going to put a little video on my Twitter. So
how
everybody
much
can
free
go
time do
what
you have?
What is going on over there?
Everybody who has a kid is always like, I slept 1 hour in the last 3 days. Meanwhile, Brett's sitting down making clicky gloves.
I made
gloves.
These gloves from scratch, and I'm gonna put a video up. It's like how to. I'm gonna clicky glove tutorial. Oh,
I love it.
Yeah, Sandy was holding the glue gun. We did it together.
It's exciting. Oh, so you're
Sandy
you're,
was holding the glue
one
gun.
1 month old was holding the glue. Look at this. He's got clicky gloves on.
Stop
this
that.
This is. Yeah.
Wait, click them into the microphone. Click them into the.
Oh, no.
The opposite of ASMR.
Pray for Brett, please. Pray for Brett.
Brett, how are you going to try out the thing? Do you have like, are you going to take us into your driveway or
something? Yeah, I'm going to get on my phone and I'm going to go out in the driveway and do it.
Oh, God.
This is like, Tom. Not only is this a surprise to us, all of it.
So excited.
Mm-hmm. It's like we weren't like in some ways it's like, oh, this is fun. Like Brett's going to, it's, you know, like do something nice for us where we don't have to like talk through it or. And another part of it is just like we haven't approved this.
No, I would have this. We would have outvoted him 2-1. Actually, I might have voted for it.
I probably would have voted for it.
Yeah, probably
would have
been 3-0. Go for it. Yeah. Like if it was an anonymous vote, it would have just been like, I would have been like, I don't think this is a good idea. And then meanwhile, my vote, like, yes.
The two of us would make like these long speeches and then.
Brett, this is terrifying. This is dangerous. We're worried about you. Never.
A neutral person like count the like Jerry from T Public would be like, no, they're all 3 positives. They're all yays.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone voted that Brett should do it.
Death is in the waiting room.
So
say that. Sorry, say that again. Say that again.
So we have death in the waiting room. Death.
Say that one more time, please.
Death has entered the waiting room.
Okay. Mm.
That's how my rabbi opens every Yom Kippur services.
It is exciting. Death is in the waiting room right now.
Death is in the waiting room. One of the top current sliders at Not Scary Farm. I believe he was sliding last night. So he's fresh off a slide. Coming into Double Threat this morning.
Great.
And the sliders, you know, one of the, like Braden was saying, they all have personalities, characters. You've got Merrick, famously. You've got Greed, Drummer, Spawn, Cowboy Bobby, Sequel, Seaweed.
How did you find this, Brett? How did you find this?
I do my research.
Originally, how did you stumble upon, was it a doc that was suggested to you on Amazon?
Thank you. This is an excellent point to bring up because I want to give a shout out, honestly, RJ. RJ, if you're listening, listener RJ, you made this episode happen. RJ, last year, if you remember, I played that clip of the sliders. Which was not from Not Scary Farm. This is another park, that I think a Six Flags park in the south somewhere. But RJ sent me this clip. I played it on the show. And RJ, that clip is what has sent me down this whole rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I'm forever grateful to you for sending us so that clip.
Sure, Amy's loving RJ these days. Yeah.
Who's loving RJ?
Amy is just
Amy, right,
thanks,
yeah.
RJ.
Now right. I can't sleep because I can hear the clicking in the next room. Yeah,
exactly. I have a 1 month old in the house, and my partner is talking all about Monster and did you hear Monster jump 10 people last night?
Did you hear Gloober is making his debut?
Yeah. Gloober got some new clicky gloves.
New knee pads.
Yeah.
Hey, you'll never believe when I tell you what's in Pookie's Thunder Jug.
Yeah. You need to watch the baby. I'm driving out to Anaheim tonight. I got to go here because I heard Gloober has some new Thunder Jugs. Amy, you got to come get me. It was a setup. I was meeting him in a parking lot behind a Vons to check out his clicky gloves, and there were eight guys there.
They put me in his trunk. I'm stuck in the boot of his car. It's a British guy. His name is Knuckles. Actually, this is the best night of my life. Never mind.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Could you imagine if Brett met a British slider and he put him in the boot of his car? He'd be like, he'd be like, this is never going to get any better for me. Be heaven.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't want to keep Death waiting any longer. Should we bring Death on?
Okay. Let's bring Death on.
Oh, God, no. No, of course not. We don't.
All right. Death, real name Michael, but code name, slider name Death. Here he comes.
Now, Death, welcome to Double Threat.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
This is very exciting. You are a professional slider.
Yes, professional is a very objective term, but yes, I am.
Sure, no, but when you go through the process of getting sanctioned or whatever, however you would call it, to do that at a place like Not Scary Farm, that's being a professional.
Yeah, I am technically a certified slider. Yeah.
What is your costume? What is your character?
Oh, so my character is in a ghost town, the ghost town area of Knott's Scary Farm, and it is literally Death. So not quite on the nose of a skeleton face, just sort of a maniacal looking black and white face with like a tattered old Western type suit.
Mm-hmm.
Ribs, bones, stuff like that.
And then that first time you tried it, or what was that all about? Your journey into becoming a good slider?
Were you injured?
I think I've been probably perpetually injured for the last 15 or so years.
We're worried, yes, Beth, because we're worried about our pal Brett. He's got knee pads behind him, as you can surely see. He's made clicky gloves with a glue gun in the middle of the night.
Death, I made my own slider glove. I'm going to try my first slide today on the show. Do you have any advice for me on how to stay safe?
Take it easy. Go slow. There's no rush. On all fours, hands and knees. You'll see a lot of people do slides where they don't use their hands, and you can avoid all that technical stuff altogether. Just take a nice brisk run into a slow, safe descent.
Good.
And you should be fine. And then once you find your footing or your comfort level, then you can start getting obnoxious with it.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Now, what is your voice like? What voice do you do?
I'm actually completely silent.
Oh, you okay?
You really? You don't make any noise at all.
Yeah. So I guess this is the part where I get to showcase how nerdy I am. The character is legitimately deaf, and there's nothing a person could say that would interest that character. There's nothing I would have to say to a person or a particular thing. So I just don't. And most of my communication is like emoted or kind of like mimed.
Because you're on a different plane than everybody else since you're deaf.
Yeah, sort of.
And
yeah.
Were you sliding last night? Were you at Knott's last night?
Yeah, I was going to say this is the perfect time to call someone that does this because I'm sort of in that Alan from Jumanji phase where I just don't know what year it is.
Sure.
And everything is sort of bewildering to me. I think I got back into the place that me and my makeup artist are renting at like 4 a.m. after wow. a party celebratory burrito.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wait, hold on. Now I'm dying to know, you have a makeup artist. There's a burrito. Now I'm dying to know a day in the life of a tell me like your pre-show yeah. ritual. And this is
mm-hmm. like, what is a shift? Like walk us through what that's like, please.
So I clock in at 4, but the rope drop isn't until 7. So I'm staring and sliding and all that from about 7 p.m. until midnight.
Okay.
Which isn't terribly long compared to some of the shifts I've worked before.
Death, are you the scariest slider on the...
Am I the scariest?
Yeah.
As a fan, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I think there's people that are way cooler than me.
What do you think about Merrick? Where do you rank Merrick?
Well, Merrick doesn't slide, but on like a batshit crazy-o-meter, he's like at, I don't know, whatever the highest measure is.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of sheer ambitious disregard for their cartilage, we have a character named Zero. His real name is Feyazger, and he'll take jumps, leaping jumps off of the porches. You know, we have like a gun shop in Calico that's, you know, at least like 4.5-5 feet off the ground, and he will take a running leap off of that into a slide.
Mm-hmm.
And from a guest perspective, I imagine that's pretty terrifying. And as a fan, I go, wow, that's really cool. And then I think about like how I don't have cartilage anymore. And I go, oh,
yeah,
he's in for it. It looks bitching.
And when you see somebody new at it, say, and you see like, what are the mistakes that somebody who's green would make? Cause again,
great question.
No, don't patronize me.
So we actually have this new thing called the Slider Apprentice Program, where we're allowed to sort of like shadow people that want to learn to slide.
Mm-hmm.
And the mistake that I see a lot is people run really fast. And I think they are unaware of how fast you're already going to go once you hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then the problem becomes being able to safely stop. Or, okay. You know, I think it's exciting. There a lot of the newer people that come in, they see sliders and they think that like this rite of passage is being able to slide, which I don't necessarily agree with. I remember being excited about it. And so they get a little too eager. They go a little too fast. They don't have a lot of spatial awareness. And those are just things that come with practice. Okay. Like anything.
By the way, Brett is starting to put on his knee pad.
Yeah, I'm getting the equipment on.
Oh. Yeah, my favorite thing is if I'm at a theme park and it's the horror and you're chasing after my group and then you won't stop and then but then when you realize it's like, oh, here's the line where they literally cannot go into the next section of the park because they're supposed to cover this radius. And you just, when the monster chasing you slows down and clearly doesn't keep going, cause now you're in a new area of the park. It's just like, oh, okay. Now we're safe from the monster because they can't cross that line. Cause they'll get in trouble.
Yeah. You've hit the tracks at Calico and there's an invisible barrier where we just sit there and pout.
Yeah. And it's like, bye.
Brett, are you going to do what's going on now, Brett? We're wrapping this up, but you've got gear on now? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm getting into slider gear. I'm going to do my first slide here in a little bit. Death, I don't know if you gave me some great advice that I'm going to take.
But no, you're not though. His advice was not to do it.
But
you're doing the opposite of taking his advice. You're actively disregarding it.
What's going on, Brad? Just walk us through.
Okay,
this.
Sure. So, well, and Death, I would love your insight here. So, I made my slider gloves this weekend. I got those little. I watched a bunch of videos on this. I ended up getting those little like electrical sort of 90-degree pieces. Shaving those down and use those for the fingertips. And then I've got some washers on the, I've got some washers on the palm as well. One thing I didn't think about aesthetically, I kind of screwed up here because I think I went overboard with the Gorilla Glue, because I have all this like Gorilla Glue residue all around the metal pieces, that I noticed the professionals don't have. But I was thinking of kind of like maybe making this part of my character because it almost looks like sort of like pus or ooze kind of escaping out from under. So I was thinking maybe that could be part of whatever character I develop. And then I've got wrist pads. I've got knee pads. The one thing I do not have, and tell me how big of a deal this is going to be, I do not have steel-toed boots.
Huge.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Good. You know what? Thank you, Death. Good. Hold on. We're going to hold off then. You know what, Death? I really appreciate you saying that because we're trying to discourage Brett from trying this out until he gets back from... He's going to this place called Terra Lingua for a chili cooking competition. Mm-hmm. And we really want to make sure that he stays healthy until he gets on that plane. So knowing that he doesn't have steel-toe boots, then he needs them is actually extremely helpful for us. So we really appreciate it.
Well, I don't think he meant it was a safety. I don't think he meant it was a safety concern. It's just going to lessen the impact.
Seems like it was. It just seems like it was a. It seems like it's a deal breaker.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of B, but it's not going to work without him.
Yeah, not going to work without
Brett.
Him.
Sorry, Brett.
Sorry, Brett.
Damn it. Where do you? So? Where can I get? Where's a good place to get steel-toe boots?
Anywhere. Google it. Why are you wasting Death's time with that question?
Yeah.
Brett, look it up. It's not that hard.
Yeah, to go get some unbelievable.
Brett, go get steel-toed boots, and we'll do this when you get back from Terra Lingua.
Yeah, exactly. And you know,
I'm sorry to raise my voice about this, but I don't want you wasting Death's time with that question.
I have an idea, Brett, that's going to take the lemons of you not having the steel-toed boots and turn it into lemonade, and we're not going to take any more of Death's time. You're tired. Are you working tonight, Death?
Yeah, I'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so look, we appreciate you taking some time out from this is the season, and you're really overextended. We appreciate you taking some time out to give us some insight into this world. It's very interesting, and I look forward to seeing you at the park. Maybe next year. I'm not going to make it out this year.
And how long is Not Scary Farm going on for people who live in this area?
Mid September to Halloween is generally the time frame.
Great.
Thursday through Sunday. I don't know, September 16th to October 31st.
Great. So when you're hearing this, you still got a week. Everybody in Southern California, listen to this. You still got a week. Go check out Not Scary Farm.
If someone sees you and someone says double threat, can you do something for them? Like take a selfie with them or something? Or like, can you give them a piece of candy?
If somebody's like, I heard you on double threat, it's Death.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll think of something obnoxious I can do. I can't wait to hear the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, me too.
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, oh, this is
going to
be great.
Yeah, it is.
So we thought
it's
also.
It's totally going to be great. It will be when it happens.
Yeah. Well, but what matters now is not who didn't come on the show. It's who did come on the show. And that's you, Death. And we appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Death.
Yeah. Do not fly without Toecap.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Have a good one.
Brett,
yes.
Sorry to break it to you, buddy. You heard the guy.
Without STBs, you're SOL.
Yeah. That's right. No STBs, S equals SOL. Now,
I'm gonna try anyway.
Here's what I think, though, Brett. No, you're not going to try anyway.
I made these gloves.
Okay, yeah, but we're not done yet, though. This is the whole thing. Just because it doesn't happen today doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We'd rather you do it for... you know, properly than to
Brett, like George Michael said and Andrew Ridgely said, if you're going to do it right. When they sang the song, I'm Your Man. You want to look at your kid. You're going to be sitting there with your legs in cast.
Traction.
Yeah. You're in traction. He comes in. Hey Dad, how you doing? Cause you've been laid up for 5 years. He's like, smoking. He comes in, sets an ashtray on your casts, right? No, I don't want that. But here's what we can do. You get your steel-toed boots, but here's the best part of it, Brett. You showed something so amazing when you said, I'm trying to figure out what my character would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we should be working on.
What if we open it up to the listeners to design Brett's character?
Okay, I like this.
Yeah, while he's getting his steel-toed boots.
While he's getting ready for it, the listeners can all come up with ideas. Who should Brett's
Slider character
be? What does his makeup look like? What is his costume? What is his attitude? What's his backstory?
So it'll
what's his catchphrase?
Yeah. Exactly. All of this stuff be
great.
That's what I meant by taking these lemons and turning them into lemonade.
You're right. You're right. You're totally right. I really appreciate this perspective on it because I was fairly let down there.
You're putting the cart before the horse. Remember when they said in the doc, it's all about the character. Yeah. The sliding is just, you know, incidental.
That's a great point. Yeah.
So when you're, this is what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, you're dressed in full Halloween makeup.
Yeah.
Yep. Like a turkey. Gobble, gobble.
I'm going to slide into another holiday. You thought Halloween was over.
Just Gobbler might be good. If you're going to do a turkey character,
be able to look this guy in the eye going forward.
We'll give him a little waddle underneath his chin.
He's dressed like a sliding turkey. I don't know if I can ever look at him the same way again. You're walking through Not Scary Farm. Suddenly here.
People scare the crap.
Brett's there. I'm here for Thanksgiving Fright Fest. And they're like, yeah, there's no such thing. Now, so that's, Brett, I think that's a responsible but satisfying way to go forward. The listeners can tweet about or whatever to say what they think Brett's slider character should be.
That's great. It'll give me some time to get
some sketches.
Yeah, I can develop that character and get the steel-toed boots. I will say I was a little apprehensive about doing this out in the driveway. Because there's not a lot of room out there. Mm-hmm. So I will find also a proper venue for this.
A parking lot?
Yeah, because I watched a lot of slider videos this week, and there's some really great venues that they go out and practice on. So I'm going to find one of those venues, and I'm going to do this for real.
Maybe you take your time with it, and the character is Slider Claus, right? So you in full Santa outfit sliding all over the parking lot.
Yeah,
sliding through the sliding down the chimney.
Sliding down the chimney. Santa stuck in the chimney.
You can put little jingles on your clicky gloves.
Just see here the clicky gloves of Brett trying to call for help for the house that he slid down the chimney of. I hear some clicking. I think Santa's stuck halfway up the chimney. I see sparks. I see a couple sparks. Now, Brett. Let's
go. I like Slider Claus. That's an early favorite.
Do we have another interview to do before the end of the show?
We're still waiting on two out of the three, but we're going to be joined here very shortly. This is very exciting, by the three hosts of Podcast The Ride, one of the best podcasts out there, Podcast The Ride.
Oh, and guess what network it's on? What a coincidence. Well, one of the best shows that you ever could listen to. Oh, what podcast network's it on?
You can find Podcast The Ride right here on Forever Dog, as a matter of fact, which is a complete coincidence, to be honest.
You've heard of Payola. This is Podola.
Yeah, some old fashioned. We got the Alan Freed of podcasting up in here.
Vertical.
You know, Dick Clark should have gotten the same deal that Alan Freed got. They should have thrown Dick Clark in jail and threw with a key.
Who are we speaking to at this point of the show?
I'm just saying.
You know what I mean?
Alan Freed got nailed for payola.
I know, and I'm just saying, listener wise, maybe we should think of like we've already spent 2 hours talking about this thing that I don't even know if I've ever heard of.
I'm trying to unite the theme
greatest
park
generation
horror, the theme park horror community with the doo-wop with the 50s radio obsessives. And I think there's a huge
I'm trying to unite my mouth with a burrito and
I know
my back with the cushions of my couch.
All right, the Podcast The Rise guys are entering the waiting room now.
Okay,
I cannot,
good.
But I, can, uh, I I cannot get these slider gloves off. Hold on a second.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're kind of stuck.
That's amazing.
It's all that gorilla glue.
It's like that Joker. It's like Joker makeup.
This guy put too much gorilla glue in the things. Now they're stuck.
Don't
on his
use
hand.
Your mouth, well, Brett. You're gonna get gorilla glue in your goatee.
He's gonna be in the emergency room. They're gonna be
they're all here. They're all in the waiting room.
Soldering off gorilla these gloves.
I can't even type. I can't do anything. Hold on a second. I
gorilla glued my clicky gloves.
Yeah.
Look at this, Tom.
It's like our version of thinner, like where it's just like, it doesn't seem like a real problem. But the idea is like, I'm going to make you thinner. It's like, yeah, okay, go for it.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
I'm going to make you thinner. It's like, yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Start.
And then I'm like, for free?
Thinner. You will be thinner. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go.
How much am I paying you? No, it's a curse I'm putting on you to make you thinner. It's like, wait, I don't have to pay you to make me thinner?
That was one of the Stephen King's where he didn't use his real name, right?
That's one of the ones he literally wrote under someone else's name to try to make them look bad. So we got the podcast, The Ride Guys.
Yeah, I've freed myself. I got one hand free now. So I'm going to, coming on the show now, Scott Gardner, Mike Carlson, and Jason Sheridan, the three hosts of Podcast The Ride. And we're going to talk with them about haunted attractions, haunted theme park attractions. Here they come.
Hey, fellas. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Podcast The Ride friends.
Happy to be here. Spookiest wishes to all of you in this hallowed season.
Yeah. Ooh.
This is very exciting.
Yes, it is a scary time, and yet we have each other to cling to in these haunted, I don't know. So it's Halloween and we're going to talk about haunts, right? Like spooky attractions, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a thing that we're going to chat about? Does that fit into the area of expertise of what you guys do?
Yes. Yeah, so we talk about haunts. We talk about the teenagers jumping out from behind like a bush and scaring us, which is what a lot of people do for fun. And I've recently gotten into enjoying this.
Attending, not doing the jumping.
No, not doing the jumping. Yeah. Enjoying a teen scare.
We're too old to be employed by this, I think.
I was going to say, and it is teens because you don't have to pay them, right? You just go to you hang out at drama club and say, hey, you kids want to get in the van. Is that the idea? Yeah. They'll do it for free.
It is such a theater kid vibe for all the scare actors. Cause it's like, we're in this together. We're going to do this. And then there's like just intense tears at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. There's just those temporary times they get to spend together and friendships form and then disappear.
The rap party.
I mean,
yeah.
That was my takeaway from the situation with the sliders. There's a lot of emotion going on with those ghost town sliders.
We spoke to many sliders.
This is basically Slider Palooza today, and we had a slider on named Death, and then we had the director of the slider documentary was on. So who knew that
And then Brett has been doing like slider cosplay, and it's
you got the glove.
He's going. This might be a good chance for you to say your farewells to Brett also, because soon he's going to try sliding. And on this show, we're going to put a poll out to the audience to come up with his slider character. We're going to design the character. And then he's going to get the steel-toed boots that he was going to try it today. And then the slider named Death.
Death encouraged him to hold off until he gets steel-toed boots.
When someone named Death tells you not to do it, you shouldn't do it. But Brett was still just like, I think I might try it.
It's like, Brett, are you going hard on the hands, hard on the knees?
Great question.
Like that, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to try to start out by distributing evenly as much as I can. That's what Death recommended, was go all fours. And he said, don't do a huge running start. That's a rookie mistake because you underestimate how much velocity you're going to get when you start sliding. So I'm going to try to do a kind of slow jog into all fours. That's my plan.
I have a suggestion because it seems like my takeaway from this documentary was that there's a lot of like, Matt was the first one to wear the spark makers under the pants or he was the first one to do it on elbows. And if you thought about like putting the metal pieces somewhere that they haven't been before, like strapped to your chin or something.
This might not be the best time for innovation. I'm just going to say this. This guy is not ready to crack open the art form and reinvent it. We just want him to not die doing it, honestly. That's what I would
say.
Night
number one.
Yeah, sure, let's let him try a successful slide.
I had thought about like a catcher's chest plate just covered in the metal pieces and then just sort of a chest slide kind of all like flat along the ground.
Yeah.
What if on the chest plate there are nipples and the nipples are where the sparks come from?
Mm.
We didn't really talk about sparks with the sliders, but I feel like we covered literally everything else. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time talking to them.
Do you know who did talk about sparks though, Julie? Every comedian,
Edgar Wright,
that has Spotify, clearly just talked about sparks, according to the movie I watched a couple months ago.
I was no one on this Zoom was in the movie. I mean, there were like dozens and dozens of them.
We were supposed to be, but then at the last minute, the director said he had a new interview, or Ian said, and it was himself.
I was ruled out because I've actually liked Sparks for 40 years and have many of their albums and saw them in concert.
But you need to have like found out about them 3 years ago on Twitter to qualify for to be in the
Met them at a party.
So, fellas, we'd love to talk about something besides sliding.
Oh, sure. Okay. You covered it all. That's mad.
We really did. We really, not according to Brett, but according to us. And last time I checked, I'm not saying it's our show, but we are on the, I don't know, our pictures are on the logo.
Now, what is your relationship to Brett as podcasters on the Forever Dog Network?
What do you guys think of this Brett guy?
I mean, I would say that he kind of got us on board with the network, and past that, I'd say that he's been drastically more hands off than on your podcast, which he's sort of taken over as the not just a third host, but almost the most prominent host.
I have slid into the third position on this show.
I'd be in trouble.
People
now
think I'm the junior producer now on it. Guests talk about
talk about sliding. I mean, Tom really slid into third.
Now, Scott, you're a new father, and indeed. So. Did you have time 3 weeks after your kid was born to jump headfirst into new hobbies like sliding?
What I do have to admit, because I heard some of this accusation that Brett just dove straight into other stuff, and I do
negligent father.
Well, those initial weeks definitely are. You do end up bored a lot, like between sudden emergencies the life could end if you aren't very careful at that second. Then there's just tons of tedium. And I actually do recall that like not long, it was like, I think the exact week maybe after my child was born was the launch of Quibi. So like the sheer amount of time I spent texting about Quibi, filming video, like Quibi shows off of one device with another, because that was the only way to share Quibi, like I was pretty Quibi crazy with like a 3-day old baby.
Fair enough.
Blood on my.
At one point, you started calling the baby Quibi.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted some insight into it, and so Brett, I apologize for mocking
I don't apologize.
Do you guys think that? And you're experts in this field. Do you think that horror and the theme park experience, how has that impacted the sale of chainsaws? Because it seems like every park has 60 people with chainsaws now.
There's so many things. I'd say that more people buy chainsaws for haunted house attractions than they do for actually cutting down trees.
Yeah, that's
or defending their families like Leatherface.
Yeah, I think that's likely. I mean, they have to take like the whatever you call it. What is the thing that actually does the sawing? The blade on? Oh, they have to take the blade off.
The chain?
Is it called a chain that has the?
I think it's the chain.
Well, there's a chain around the blade.
But it's like, isn't there still a chain remaining and that you hear grinding through? That's why it's scary in these parts. There is the real stuff.
You pull on like a cord.
Yeah.
So it's a chain with a blade on it, essentially.
Yeah.
It's a blade with a chain on it.
We just learned about fake chainsaw maintenance on the podcast. Yeah.
Did you?
This is the kind of thing that we learn of if you listen to our show and the, cool. You know, that you have to check them in and out at the beginning of the night and everyone is numbered and accounted for.
But the budget, the budget is high for chainsaws.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about these clowns? I mean, have we reached peak peak scary clown fever? Like at a certain point, aren't we like kind of over it? What do you think?
There's a clown that makes an appearance oftentimes on our show. He's a deceased man. He's a real life guy named Chucko the Clown, who was like a children's character, but he is like, he's very scary. So it's like, I feel like clowns will never die. I feel like that's going to be...
But, like, don't you feel like at a certain point, every haunted house was like, step right up, step right up. You know, it's going to be the most messed up carnival you'll ever see. This cut candy's made out of cobwebs.
I think, you know, I think if you were actually to take a second and, like, really take in the creativity of all the different mazes, some of them you'd have notes for. You would say, you know what, this haven't we seen this before? But
because
there's so much fog going on, I think maybe you don't even have that critical eye.
Fog and corn and that kind of thing. But I'm just thinking, like, trope wise, I've seen explode with the haunts the last, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. A lot of mental hospitals. Mm. Really great for this new conversation we're having about mental health. Really helpful.
This is a great opportunity to talk about BetterHelp if you are trapped in a haunted house.
If you're feeling like one of the, one of the patients.
If you feel like
asylum.
You're trapped in the haunted house of your mind.
If there's scary clowns inside,
I see
in
these hospitals, I see these scary circuses, and then I see straight up torture chambers. But there are these like more and more extreme haunts where you get buried alive by a bunch of balls that fall from the ceiling, and then, you know, things get more and more extreme. And like, do you see any, you know, new, like, are there new tropes? Like, is there like storm the Capitol, like that kind of a is that a thing?
I mean, there should be, because there's so many like types within that.
Yes,
so many
those
types
people would be great
stormers.
Scare actors, don't you think? You go through a Capitol and like the guy with the podium like bops out.
Be amazing. How is that going to be a huge Halloween costume this year? People walking
the
behind
podium
the
podium
guy.
Yeah,
the shaman.
QAnon shaman will be huge.
You have to do like a desk with like fake legs that you put up on the desk. Mm-hmm. This is Nancy Pelosi's desk.
You can always
desk.
Be walking in it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shit smearer. I don't think we saw photos of the shit smearer, but people would understand it. If you had like melted chocolate bars on your fingers the whole night.
Which, by the way, on Halloween, I generally do. I can't wait till the end of the night. My hands are going right into that plastic pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Nom, nom, nom.
I'm excited. My costume this year is Dead Lasso, and it's a it's a zombie Ted Lasso. And
and he's all about negativity.
He's about negativity.
Opposite.
Yes, and he's very funny.
Well, speaking of new approaches to Halloween haunts, the podcaster I was nice enough to bring along some clips of some different haunted theme park attractions. And speaking of extreme theme park attractions, this first clip we've got here is the Six Flags 30-hour coffin challenge. I was intrigued by the title. I watched like 2 seconds of this and I held off. I'm like, I want to watch this live on the show because this is truly extreme.
Sure. So this is a thing that a lot of Six Flags do. They might have stopped doing it somewhere in COVID era, but like we know it happens at the New Jersey one and Mike
Great
has
Adventure.
Seen it, Magic
That's
Mountain.
Where I came from.
Great Adventure, yes. And I think that's the one we're gonna watch is Great Adventure. But Mike, do you want to fill in the details of, I believe you have to spend 30 hours straight in a
lying on your back unless you have to go to the bathroom. So they will let you go and go to like the porta potty that's right near there, but you lose the contest if you leave the coffin. And it's not closed, but you have to like there'll be like scare actors that will come and scare you during the day and night, and you have to sit there and I always forget the amount of money, but you win if you beat everyone else. $666. Is that correct?
Wow.
You know, the last time we talked about this, I gave them too much credit. And I was like, isn't it? Don't they make it a scary number? And I think I've confirmed now they don't. It is just $600.
Yeah.
$600. Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah.
So that's your reward for 30 hours.
They're like, yeah, we ran the numbers. You know, 666 is going to put us in the red.
Yeah.
Let's just round down and call it a day.
Our coffin dwellers have prepared their final resting places. No doubt it will be a cold, lonely, and frightful 30 hours. They will face challenges with live bugs, unsavory food, and green goo. They will be tormented by zombies, snakes, skunks, Yacht Rock, and Baby Shark. They will eat meals in the coffin, keep their body parts in the coffin at all times, and should they exit the coffin for any reason other than the allotted breaks and challenges, they will
Anthony
be
Jesselneck?
Disqualified.
It sounds like Anthony Jesselneck.
Please enter your coffin.
It's Anthony Jesselneck dressed up like Johnny Depp from Alice in Wonderland.
We sort of get some highlights here, and I don't know if it makes it to this point in this clip, but one of the highlights is if you hang out for that 30 hours, guess who shows up? Butch Patrick from the Munsters.
Yeah.
To cough on you.
He's got coronavirus. He was on our show last year. He was on our show last Halloween, and he was at an event.
Wait, Tom, what I have something funny to say. At? Tom, I have something funny to say. That's why they call it the coffin challenge.
Because Butch Patrick will be coughing on
you. He just coughs on you.
That's why they have a little vent in there to get that Butch Patrick cough right on you.
You can't even take a nice nap for 30 hours. They wake you up and they make you eat. What are they making them eat?
I think at some point pork brains are part of the picture. I think it depends on the year, but that kind of thing.
You have to fear factor.
Yeah. There's some cross. I think right now what we're seeing is you have to rescue several pieces of candy corn out of a jar with like clicking cockroaches, snapping. I don't know what cockroaches do, but
people know.
Hiss.
It could be hissing. Might be
the production. The production value on this great adventure was like 10 times the Magic Mountain. Because the
they're sitting up to eat.
Using the coffin as a tray table is amazing.
The coffins were not that nice at Magic Mountain.
It's so comfortable. Honestly, when I eat in bed, I wish I could have like a little table like that.
This does not look that bad. I gotta say, this actually looks like a little bit of a break from life.
Yeah
I saw somebody have some books in there.
Yeah, someone had books in there. It's just like the ghoulies coming out to bother you, and then you got to eat. But like, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to lie in a coffin for a few hours and like get caught up on podcasts.
Yeah,
you know.
Passes and the very coveted mini coffin.
Congratulations!
Oh, there's Butch.
He did it.
He's got a Munster shirt on.
$600 even.
That's it. That's a big check for a.
It almost feels like it feels like they give them that 600 was what they had left from like ordering 8 cardboard coffins. And they're just like, well, we'll give whatever what's left over, like $600. OK, that's the prize.
Well, this next haunt we got coming up is also this is very exciting. This one's called Garfield's Nightmare. And this is from Kennywood Park. Scott, where's Kennywood Park?
Kennywood is in Pennsylvania, and
what
this
is Pennsylvania and Hollywood.
Oh, I think this is the one that
that's the one that the director was talking about.
Yeah. He was talking about Kennywood Park. That's right. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, this is not one of those seasonal haunts attractions. This was a year-round thing, but it's no longer there. It was an old mill type ride that kind of had no decor, and then they decided to do it like an IP layover. You got to get IP in your ride, so they teamed up with the ultimate IP Garfield and imagine what it would be like if I believe the premise is Garfield ate too much food. He is too stuffed. Okay. And then this is what happens in his mind.
It looks this like is the, amazing. For the piece of pizza, it looks like it's Donald Trump in pizza form. That has got like weird hair on top.
Curly nest up
also,
top. Yeah.
I feel like Garfield's nightmare would be not eating a lot of food. Never mind.
Oh, starving. Sure.
Getting too logical, but
yeah.
I'm desperate to see what this is. Oh, it's a water ride.
A water ride too.
What would you drink sooner, the water in the bottom of this ride or the beer at Earwolf?
I drink the water from this ride.
What's the difference?
10 times out of 10. What's the difference? You this just rules. Follow this. You follow this water and it goes right to Earwolf.
This is so cool. There's all. See, this is more my speed.
It's kind of neat. It's all day glow. You get like full Garfield comic panels rendered in UV light.
I love this.
Big ice cream cone, big pot. You get like every type of dessert as this goes on.
I would love for this to be my apartment. I would. This is so cool.
Well, the ride's gone, so I don't know if there's any way to purchase any of these and have a big popsicle in your house.
We got to get a truck and go out to Kennywood, Julie, and just strip the place of all the Garfield stuff.
Yeah. Oh, big shot. A big vaccine there.
Garfield is getting it under duress.
That's Garfield's nightmare.
Vaccine mandate comes for Garfield.
This rules.
This might just be, this is just a great ride.
This looks fun. This looks beautiful, actually. I mean, I think this is, now get ready for transition coming in 4, 3, 2.
Well, speaking of theme parks, here's another.
Not enough of a stretch. I'm disappointed. That's the first one I've heard live.
What about Forever Dog Land? How about that? What about Forever Dog Land?
Yeah.
What would our ride be, Tom?
Oh, it would be. I don't know. I'd be scared that John Kassir, the Crypt Keeper, was going to.
Not show up.
I'd be scared of the absence of things. The Crypt Keeper.
What if it's a carousel? What if it's a carousel where John Kassir, just all these different John Kassirs on all fours and they go up and down?
Yeah. I'm not feeling well, Ghoulie.
let's take a brain check.
Yeah, no, John Kassir flaked on us last week and is still kind of casting a shadow over the show.
Did you get any clarity as to, are you just assuming that this was a ghost thing?
Brett has more information, but we choose not to.
I'll give you that answer off air. For the show, it's a complete mystery. We don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Just radio silence.
We don't want to know.
Yeah. I mean, I did find out what it was, and it was a.
What was it, Tom?
He got picked up for arson and was
I love the way those Jennifer convertibles burn.
Yeah, he was going to actually burn down a McCormick and Schmick's seafood restaurant. No, he was really, because he got mad because they overcharged him for something and he was going to torture McCormick and Schmick's and got busted because he hired somebody to help him do it, who was a cop, an undercover cop that he got out of the back of Soldier Fortune magazine. That's what I heard, at least. Yeah. That's allegedly.
He did send me a Venmo request while we were on air, and it just said bail money. So it's all coming together.
So, Brett, you were saying there's another clip.
Oh, I got one more clip for you here. This is kind of a ride through a historical horror. This is the Mine of Lost Souls, in Kenobi Lake Park. And Jason, where is that? What state is that in?
So this is a small, still family-owned park in New Hampshire, and this ride has been kind of updated and redone over the years, but I sent it to Brett because I thought it was a good example of like a small park with a smaller budget, you know, trying their best and sort of ending up with, I don't know, interesting results.
Okay.
This is the Mine of Lost Souls.
So it says warning blast area as you're going through this ride, as if you're in an old mine.
It's a pretty frequent trope, I guess, is the the mine with problems.
Yeah, the horrors of mining is a regular go-to.
Potential for collapse.
Well, they're very relatable. Who among us?
What was it, a monster?
Go back. I can't.
But the ride's going forward. I can't go back.
Things can be a mishmash. That's my favorite. Like, it's a mine, but there's pirates in it and aliens.
Sure, yeah.
Just like as much as you can, as many mythologies as you could scramble up.
Pharaoh's curse. I thought I was in a mine.
Yeah, if this is in America, I don't know how a pharaoh's
some tombs
getting around.
What's now that? Skulls?
Skulls. Petrified skulls. Uh-oh. With a skull in a costume.
Yeah, this blows.
I like it. I like it. Who's that, Jesus?
Yeah, it's Jesus with a scimitar.
That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's got a, he makes it appear.
You have to repent if you want to exit.
Oh, the mine's going to collapse.
A very quiet
that ancient
collapse.
Egyptian curse. Mm. Yeah,
that was cool. That I like it.
Wow. I like that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I, in terms of like, you know, mashing things up, I don't know if you guys are aware of, do you know about a thing that Universal Studios has done for a long time that's like a live rock event? I think now it's done, but called Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review. This is this is like a theme park.
Yeah, I've seen
staple.
Clips of it.
You're aware of Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review. I like this because they sort of, it started with like basic monsters, but then they kind of needed to expand and especially come up with female parts because you only had Bride of Frankenstein really. So how do we like, how do we get more women in there? So they had to include like, they decided that Cleopatra was a monster at some point in time who performed the song Sphinx Better Have My Money.
Funny.
That's a highlight.
It's fun.
Fun. They also, Jason's girlfriend played a character in the park, an original character that was only in the Graveyard Review, who is Fantasia, who is the Phantom of the Opera's daughter. Is that accurate, Jason?
Yeah, yes, that is accurate. Yeah.
Okay.
So
and she, this is canon, meaning it's something someone stuffed into a cannon.
Makes you want to makes you wish you could get stuffed into a cannon fired away from the performance. Yes.
No, this
rules.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, they these places innovate. They they expand haunted IP each year. Mike, you're the only one of us who really goes to these things often. Was there anything you enjoyed at Halloween Horror Nights this year? Universal one.
Yeah, I liked Halloween Horror Nights. Listeners of the show will know that I tried to do a horror escape room and had an anxiety attack before going in and didn't do it.
Before going in is even.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's your body like helping you out.
But yeah, Horror Nights, look, that's like a commercial. That's like the sellout haunt at this point. Cause they, as Tom was saying, they just like throw you in there. You don't get all the scares and it's like all movie stuff. I mean, it's fun, but it's not like you're kind of just like getting 2 seconds.
Haunting of Hill House. Did you do that one this year? It was the worst thing I ever experienced.
I did it.
what a waste of time.
I do think that was like the worst one. I like the Halloween 4 one. Okay. Because there were like five. I liked when 5 Michael Myers.
The Halloween 401k? What is that? What is it? You're doing Myers?
That's what Brett said. He's withholding $25.
Yeah, all your ad money goes into your Halloween 401k. It'll pay off eventually.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
But it was the one there was like an original one, and I'm trying to remember something about a pharaoh. And it was like neon, and it looked a lot like Garfield's Nightmare. now that I think about it.
Oh, is that Pandora's box?
And thank you. It's Pandora's box. And like there was a very tall man who stood up in the middle. I'm making this sound like it's the worst thing in the world.
No, I did that one.
No, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Tall man.
Well, there was a man who was sitting down and you thought, oh, that's a regular sized man. And then he stood up and he had stilts on and he was a very tall man.
Bo Burnham. It was Bo Burnham.
Yes, and he did his songs.
He's six, seven, or something.
That's the way to get those lines moving faster in that haunted house.
What I would love for you guys to do more than anything for me is to come up with a list of dark rides, as they're called, that aren't scary, that won't give Julie a panic attack. Like things like Garfield's Nightmare. That's what I want in my life. I want. I would do that every day if I knew that there wasn't going to be some, you know, crazy goblin like swinging out at me and giving me, because I don't like jump scares. Yeah. I don't like that.
What's your level, like Disneyland, like what's your level of comfortability? All the rides there, or is there something?
Garfield's Nightmare. It. This is the gold standard. I'm telling you. I want things exactly like Garfield's Nightmare. That rocks.
Okay.
Good news is, I mean, because there's kid rides that are considered dark rides. A lot of them actually.
Yeah, but none of them are vaccinated. I'm not getting on one of those carts.
A small, small rooms with lots of children. Sure.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
But I was going to say there was a ride that was called Snow White's Scary Adventures, and it was maybe too scary for you because it was full of scary trees and crocodiles that slowly opened their mouths.
I can handle that.
But it's not even scary anymore. Now it's Snow White's Enchanted Wish. Yeah. So now it's not remotely scary. There's more romance in it. The prince is more heavily featured, the mostly uncharacterized prince.
I want off-brand stuff. I don't want any, you know, corporate.
Knott's Berry Farm has like two rides based on the horrors of mining and industry. And it's a
logging.
Lot of
one's logging, mining, yeah. One's logging. Yeah, both not depicted so great.
And just like men who's like, or probably if they're being depicted at age 30 that look like 85.
Very.
And the robots are melted slightly, like a little melted, so at least it adds to the horror of it. Yeah. But no one jumps out at you, so I think that might be what you're looking for.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. As long as there's no jumping out at me.
They make logging seem better, because mining, there's no joy. There's not one happy scene in any mining ride. But logging, they get to... There's that one celebration part where the loggers all get on a log that's spinning and dance around on the log.
That's true. So there
is like, it's kind of like an old musical trip. Isn't there like seven
log
brides
rolling.
For
log? Yeah. Log rolling was huge when I was growing up.
Oh yeah. Who didn't love going down to the lake?
Doing some log rolling it was an Archie comics a lot. Like Moose and Reggie were always doing a lot of,
they were
log
always. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Hershey Park once and I took like the best ride of my life, where they toured you through like, this is how chocolate is made, and it was like the best day of my life.
Oh, that's highlight of my life. We love that ride.
And then at the end they give you some, and I don't know if it was because it was fresh or because you just spent the last 30 minutes thinking about it, but I was like, this is the best Hershey kiss I've ever had in my life.
It's the greatest. Oh, Hershey Park rules. That chocolate tour was amazing.
Yeah.
And all these people talk about this fancy chocolate and stuff. I don't know. Just go eat some Hershey's. It's good stuff.
All these people are talking about this fancy
chocolate. Oh, I don't need American chocolate. Well, guess what? I do.
How many beans are in this bar?
What's the cacao percentage on this?
What's the cacao to cocoa ratio? Yeah.
This is 70% cacao. Oh, great. You eat it. I'm going to eat a Mr. Good Bar.
When I was very young, my family went to Hershey Park, and we went on the Chocolate World ride, and Operation Desert Storm had just happened. Mm-hmm. And when you got off the ride, they were giving you little fun size versions of the chocolate that they had developed for the army in war that wouldn't melt in desert climates.
Yeah. Wow, what a treat. I'm okay. You could send this one. You could send mine over there to them also. I'm just going to go get an actual Hershey bar while I'm at Hershey Park.
I don't know. There is a novelty to like, oh, astronaut ice cream. And then there's an astronaut like, that's all I had.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the astronauts up there just imagining that they're at Baskin Robbins.
Oh, I would like kill someone with my bare hands for a scoop of like, you know, pink bubble gum right now.
Get a McFlurry right now. I'd get off this stupid space shuttle just for a McFlurry. Meanwhile, people on Earth, biting this is down astronaut on,
like,
ice cream.
Being like, well, this is interesting.
It's freeze dried. So that's why it's terrible.
It was like 90% the reason why I went to museums when I was a little girl is to get to the astronaut ice cream at the end at the gift shop. I'd be like, yeah, that was interesting. Let me at that astronaut ice cream.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't care. I'll try it.
Did you learn anything about, I don't know.
Yeah, the bravery of astronauts for not having non-freeze-dried ice cream in
access
space.
To regular ice cream.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of astronauts, prepare to blast off into a world of fun when you subscribe to Podcast The Ride on your favorite podcast app. Truly one of the great podcasts out there. And right now, I know you guys are doing a deep dives into haunted theme park attractions for the month of October for Halloween. Are there any more of those? This episode will come out on Monday. Are there any more haunted Halloween episodes of Podcast The Ride to come? Or are they
archives? The big one. We do the Haunted Mansion every year at the Disneyland Haunted Mansion every year. So that will be coming out soon. We've been
a room to room. We get through about an average of like
two-ish rooms a year. We really like to pick apart the minutiae.
So we'll be done around 2030, I believe.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll be long dead.
Yeah, I might not make it to this Halloween.
Brett's child.
The only audience member.
I guess on the final one. Although we are here to serve a cease and desist against the phrase podcast debate. We are podcast the blank. Oh, yeah. That's our thing.
Yeah, so. Stay away, please.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us.
We appreciate it.
Come back anytime.
Love you. Yeah. Love this show very much. My very favorite podcast.
Jason Sheridan, Mike Carlson, Scott Gardner. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, fellas. Happy Halloween.
That was fun.
It was a lot of fun, and Halloween is fun, and we're so excited because next week we have another big show, and we're going to listen to the covers of Halloween songs, right, Brett?
Yeah.
That people sent
in. Yeah, we've been getting some incredible, truly incredible submissions of our Halloween songs. I posted those lyrics on Twitter and Instagram at Double Threat Pod. So if you still time, if you want to send in your version of one of those Halloween songs, everybody's been doing, just to give you a heads up, everybody's been either doing Sexy Costumes or Paula Deen. Those are the only submissions I've got so far. If you still are yet to do your song, maybe give one of the other two a shot. Truly incredible stuff. We'll listen to those next week. And also next week, I want to go ahead and tease it now. Tom and Julie, thank you so much for indulging my dumb obsession with sliders this week. And next week, you guys are going to have one of your interests front and center. Because we're doing an episode all about ventriloquism and ventriloquist dummies next week. I think that's going to be a real treat. It's going to be very exciting. And we got a lot of surprises in store for that episode.
It's going to be
fun.
That
will be insane. And then after that is Terra Lingua. So we've got a lot of craziness coming up. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for listening. And then before we go, we did want to mention something just absolutely tragic, unspeakable happened this week related to Alec Baldwin. And we're just, I mean, just completely gutted by it.
Yeah, of course. Look, we goof on him and goof around about the stuff. And it's like, whatever that is, I don't know. Like, obviously goes without saying, but we'll say, like, nobody deserves that horrific situation, and it's a tragedy all around. And just the I don't know, we can just say obvious, you know, condolences,
and our hearts are just broken on behalf of Halina Hutchins, mm-hmm. the DP's name, and just can't imagine what that guy's going through. So
yeah,
you know, our hearts are you know, are broken on everyone's behalf, and you know, we just got so upset about that, hearing about that this week.
So yeah, that's you know, real life versions of things, how we actually feel, and you know that, but we just wanted to say it also. So yeah, if you're be safe if you're on sets, and people take care of each other in those circumstances.
Be safe in general, and remember that, you know, even with this like pandemic stuff, it's like what you always say, Tom, like, so if you're extra careful, you're extra careful. It's not gonna, you know, if you have to wait a little bit longer to feel comfortable being inside without a mask, then you wait a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where we're at. And thanks for listening. And we will be back next week with a really fun ventriloquism episode with, all like Brett said, all sorts of surprises. And thanks to our guests.
Halloween songs too. And thanks to our guests. Jesus Christ, Death, Mr. Meshuggah, what was his name? Braden, the podcast, The Ride Fellas.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And thank you, Brett, for putting all that together. And thank you for not sliding today.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Took a lot of self-control, but I think it was the right decision. I'm glad. Thank you so much for intervening there. And I think it'll be in the best interest of everybody to hold off on the first slide.
Let's be safe. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.